Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Startup Addict. I'm Dennis Rodriguez. Here's Nick Swinburne and Julio Lara.
Julio Lara. Apparently, yes. He wants the new intro.
Julio Lara. I didn't say that. That's not true.
So today we're going to be talking about motivation and how people stay motivated. Some people like yelling. Some people like money.
That's true. Is that what motivation is to you? Money,
money and
yelling?
Anger. Money and anger.
Which comes first, the money or the anger?
Anger. Sure. Anger that you don't have enough.
So yeah. Anger comes first. So anger is usually followed by money you've got.
I wake up in a rage and then I check my bank account.
I get even more angry.
I get more angry.
What about you, Julio? Dennis has got an interesting take on motivation. What's yours?
Oh, God. I don't have one. Is that sad? I don't have one. No, I mean, like you said, there's people who need the motivation in a more of a, like a, I guess, a in-your-face type of form. And then there's people who just really like what they do every day and just are able to get up and execute. So you're either that type of person. There's not one that's better than the other as much as being able to identify the motivation that you need every day to, you know, take the next step in whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And once you're able to be self-aware of that, I think it's huge. Very, very, very.
I'd agree with that. I think there's self-motivation, right? Which I was going to follow Dennis's pattern and say self-motivation, otherwise known as motivation from within.
That's true.
Or there's kind of like someone motivates you, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, I would think that I would argue that the internal one is motivation. And the external one is more force or something, right? Like if I'm motivated to get up and go to work because my wife and kids need to eat, versus if I go to work because someone called and yelled at me and said, "Hey, your kids and wife need to eat." One, I'm just kind of doing it because like someone called me out on it, and one, I'm like fucking motivated.
Think of your wife and kids. Yeah.
So you need a why, right? So motivation would be a why. But then in the case of
like startups,
I think if you can't sit there and define the why, right? Like if you're like, "Oh, I want to, I'm motivated to make a whole bunch of money," right? Well, I think that's probably the equivalent of like, I'm motivated to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to play in the NBA to make a whole bunch of money. But like, if that's the only reason you want to play in the NBA, then you better be 7 feet tall, because you're probably not going to get to the NBA if like the only thing motivating you is money. So I think in startups, you usually know if it's something that you're like, you just have to do it. Like you just wake up, that's what you're thinking about, you want to do it. And so you wouldn't even really think about being motivated. You just would find yourself like naturally doing it, at least for me.
Yeah.
When I have like super short attention span and God knows what else, but like every time I found myself like trying to talk myself into doing it or psych myself up, it never really lasts. Or even if it lasts, it won't be that fun. I won't be that passionate about it.
Did you ever think of hiring a motivation coach when you were in the early stages of Zappos?
No. I didn't know if there was any free coaches. But at the time I was motivated, right? I don't know exactly what I was motivated about. I definitely wasn't just thinking about making money. And I wasn't super passionate about shoes. So I can't really remember. I think the drive was just to like make something or try something.
Yeah.
Which I don't think ever changes, right? Like we get questions we had a couple of questions, and I think it's a common question people get is, you know, there's an assumption that like once you are motivated to make money, or even if it's not your primary motivation, it's one of your motivations. And then as soon as you make it, your motivation must just go away. And now you're motivated to just sit around, have fun, and spend it.
Did you ever have that at all?
Well, I'm motivated to sit around, have fun, and spend money, but it wasn't like at the expense of wanting to start stuff.
Yeah.
So like, if you like I don't for me at least, it's not even a choice, right? It's like some people might be like, oh, I just like, it's like, why do you turn the TV on every time you turn the TV on? It's because you want to fucking watch TV. I mean, maybe some people are like, oh, I don't like silence, or like, oh, I'm bored. But most people are just like, I want to watch TV. I'm going to go to the refrigerator because I want some food.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. It's not like I've never had to tell myself on anything I should be working on. I've never had to tell myself like, hey, dude, you got to go work on that right now.
You never go through that anxiety when like when you're working on something, you're like, I shouldn't be watching TV. I need to be working on this.
No, all. I do.
You do?
Yeah. So that's what I figure. That's one of two things. Either means I'm not that into what I need to be working on, or I think I can be passionate about an idea and motivated to like, and it's not even motivated. I'm naturally thinking about the idea. I'm just not that passionate about some of the tasks that are involved with the idea, right? So it might be like, man, I'm really excited to open the store. And part of opening the store means I've got to do X amount of bookkeeping. And I'm really not at all excited or motivated to do the bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
So then I might be like watching TV or surfing the web and procrastinating doing the bookkeeping. But, or more likely, I'm sitting there just daydreaming about things about the store that aren't specific to the bookkeeping. So I think I don't think it's like all or nothing. I think you can still be super passionate about an idea, but then there's tasks where you're like, I don't want to do that. I need someone to motivate me to do that.
Yeah.
Kind of a very rambling answer. But for me, I think that the short point for me I found is like I haven't noticed any difference in my enthusiasm or drive to like start new things.
I think it just says that that speaks to your initial motivation for any startup that you've done wasn't the money, because if the motivation wasn't money, once you accomplish that goal of, you know, now you have X amount of dollars, then now you're like, okay, what else can I do? I think your initial motivation, like you said, was just the creation of something. And once you identify that as your key motivator, then you'll never ever run out of motivation, because you'll never ever run out of ideas that you can start.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is just having an idea and trying to turn it into reality. And there's times where you're like, you know, it's not like, there's times where you're like, I want to sit down and try to think of an idea. Everyone does that, and I do the same thing. And I'm not really sure if it ever works. But there's other things where you weren't trying to think of it. That's just who you are and what's going on in your life and what you're doing. So it just happens, right? So you could sit there and be like, I want to start a business. 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 And you could read about a whole bunch of things and try to find something. But it's ultimately not going to be anything you read or think of. It's just going to be what you're interested in will get sparked by something you read or something you saw or something you had. And then, you know, if you're like, for me, it's just literally the thrill of it not existing, being an idea, making a logo or an image so it like looks kind of real, then trying to figure out if you could, you know, get someone else to think it was a good idea or wear it or buy it or eat it or drink it or whatever. And that's the most fun thing. Right.
So when you actually see it becoming a reality, when you start to see, like, if you start clothing, people wearing it, that actually is.
Each little thing is the most, like, so, like, seeing someone wearing a shirt is just as exciting if they're the only person wearing the shirt or if they're, like, the millionth person wearing the shirt. It's just, oh, shit, someone's wearing a shirt. It's not like you think, well, that was cool the first 20 times. It's like, no, it's still cool each time.
Yeah.
You might be a little bit more used to it, but it's not like you know, in the restaurant, every day you sit there and you go, fuck, what if no one comes today? And then when it's full, you're like, oh, it's awesome, people came.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you're like, fuck, what if no one comes today? And even when you start to be able to know, like, Mondays are going to be like this, Tuesdays are going to be like this, Wednesdays are going to be like this, you still think, what if no one comes today? And then, oh, yes, people came and they liked it. So I think it's just that, like, maybe for me, I just can't see that far ahead. So I'm just kind of focused on each little individual thing, but I don't think, for me, money hasn't changed any of that. Like I'm still working on the same kind of things.
Yeah.
The same I just don't like have some parameter where I'm like, oh, that idea is too small to work on, or oh, I don't want to be in an office working on an idea, like nothing's really changed. I think if I somehow stumbled upon something that I didn't like at all and I found a quick way to make some money at it, then once I'd made the money, I would probably never go back to doing that because like you didn't want to do it in the first place. But the same way, you know, you want to, you wake up and you're like, oh, I need some, when I wake up, the first thing I think about is like, I got to make some coffee. Can't wait to have coffee. Sometimes when I'm going to bed, I'm thinking, I wish it was fucking morning.
I can't wait to have a cup of coffee in the morning, right?
Just fiending for coffee. It's the same thing. So it's like, you know, the same way that some people would like, why do you grab a, some pineapple instead of some watermelon out of the fridge? It's just the same thing. You just do what you do. It's not like you sit there and think like, what should I think about? That's what I always keep saying is you can't help what you think about and you can't control what you think about.
Yeah.
So after Zappos, right, I had a hard time with these expectations of has to be big ideas or it's got to be this or it's got to be that. And so I was projecting someone else's rules on it. And then sometimes other people will be disappointed like, oh man, I can't believe you're just working on something so small. Like dunk contest, for example. There's a couple people in the Warriors ownership group. They talk about it and they go, oh, that's cool. It's a cool little hobby. Like, how big could it really get, right? And they want something that could be, like, hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. It's just fun and, you know, open a couple stores and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And they're like, so it's not really, like, something you're excited about working on. It's just more like a hobby. I'm like, I don't know the difference. Right? Like, I don't know the difference between a hobby or a fucking what you're working on. The only benefit of having made money is you just get to work on whatever you want to work on. So, like, then you don't have to think about, like, is this a waste of my time or is that not a waste of your time? Unless someone else is defining what's a waste of your time.
So you haven't changed your approach to beginning of Zappos to any other business since on how you keep motivated and driven?
I think it's pretty much exactly the same. I don't think I've got, I haven't gotten any smarter in fucking 20 years. But no, nothing has changed. Like, it's just kind of, except now I just don't fret over it as much. Right, like if I was working on Zappos and my mind wandered to some other idea, I would be like, ah, what's wrong with you? Focus, focus, focus. And now I'm more like, all right, we'll just think of another idea. Like some people will say, like, you know, everyone has it where you're sitting in front of your laptop and you're like, I got to finish this. But you're just not in a state where you could think about it, right? You know you're like, I got to do this right now. I got to do this right now. But instead you're thinking about something else or you keep surfing the web and doing your little loop of sites you go to, or you're turning around and looking at the TV. And then over time you realize, hey, why don't I just, when I'm stuck like that, why don't you just close the laptop, watch TV for a little bit, and then later on, you'll sit back down and it'll be like, all right, now my mind or whatever, our subconscious is ready to just knock this out. And then it sucks when you realize you've wasted 5 hours sitting there when you could have just done something else for 5 hours and in the sixth hour done it.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's universal, that motivation and thing is universal amongst other entrepreneurs that you've been able to network with and talk to? Like, it sounds similar to when we had Chad on the podcast, where he was at PayPal and then he just needed to start something else because he was just, you know, he was able to take some time off and kind of refresh his battery. But that that need to start something new was always there.
Yeah, I think whether it's, you know, it'd probably be unique to each person, right? Like, they're different stages. So, you know, I think he even referenced a little bit of, like, I need to do something else. Like, didn't really go into why. Was it just because he had this, like, he woke up every morning and was like, I need another idea? Or I think it seems like a very common thing when someone has success that they get this internal thing in their head that everyone's looking at him going, like, you'll never be able to do that shit again. Like, it's just, you got lucky once. It's funny how many people I read about it, you hear about that are thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And really, there's not a whole lot of people that are thinking that. In fact, what I realize is no one's really thinking about me. So, like, I'm just sitting here
thinking everyone's
I'm sitting here assuming that people are like, you know, when you walk in a room, like, oh, he's a lucky bastard. Who, you know, but really everyone's like, who the fuck is that guy? But they, yeah, but it's all in your head, right? So I think there is a difference in that. There's like, I have to do something. For me, that usually means I'm stuck because as soon as something pops into your head where you're like super excited about it, you don't have a choice. You just have to, you know, you have to do it. Like, I just, there's no way that I could say, all right, for the next 3 weeks, let's just not think of any new ideas. Because it's not a choice to think of ideas or you know, look at things in a way where something sparks something else. I could make a conscious choice to like, hey, for the next 3 weeks, don't act on any thoughts. But that would be kind of weird. It'd be like, I'm hungry, don't eat. You know, like it would just be for the sake of what, you know? Like you wouldn't want to like turn off the thing which makes you happy, where you get all excited mm-hmm. every day. So
to me, that's like unique to you and the wiring that you have. Like I remember when I first started working for you, it was 4 or 5 years ago now. And I would go home or I would talk to friends about just the variety of things that we were working on at the agency. And they'd be like, wait, so you're doing, but, and they would get them all crossed and stuff like that. I was like, well, if you're getting confused, just imagine how Nick is when he's got all these ideas in his brain and he's trying to like organize them in there and trying to put them out into reality. So I think that's just a unique quality that you have. And maybe some other entrepreneurs are that way too, or just like constantly trying to get ideas out on paper, trying to get ideas out into the world.
Yeah, I think everyone's different, right? I mean, I'm super jealous of someone that would just have an idea and be so focused and into it that they couldn't think about anything else the whole time. But I don't think that could even possibly happen. But it's weird because in everything else, I'm a creature of habit. Like, well, it drives my wife crazy. Like, if I would just eat the same shit every day, I would not really go anywhere or do anything new. I would just do the same thing every day. Right? Your brain probably has to focus on certain things. Like some people are like, oh, I want to eat different food every day. And some people are like, oh, I want to read a different book every day. Or, oh, I like to go out and meet a whole bunch of new people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll just do the same thing every day. I'll hang out with the same people and I'll eat the same food and I'll just think of a whole bunch of ideas. So I think it's probably just, everyone probably has those things where it's like, you need variety, and then there's some, and these things you don't need variety, and then there's probably some, you know, checklist somewhere of like, all right, you got your variety thing, you've got your routine thing, and it's probably just depends what it is.
On that line, talking about entrepreneurs and how they, you know, how similarities between all of them. One thing I know I do is I overthink, and one thing I noticed with like Chad and you is that you don't overthink too much when you pursue an idea, because you, like what Chad said, you could talk yourself out of anything. So I think that's something I did notice with a lot of entrepreneurs. You just kind of go for it and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something where you're not making a conscious decision, you just can't help it, you're just thinking about it, then you never have the thought of like, I've wasted so much time on it.
Yeah.
Because you never made a conscious decision to spend any time on it. You just like couldn't help it. Like it literally would feel like you'd have to put yourself in a straitjacket to not pursue something, right? Like yesterday I was on a phone call mm-hmm. and we were talking about a location. We have a coffee concept called Surf Cat, right? So we're trying to find the first location to open that up. And then during the course of the call, I just couldn't help myself from, you know, and my brain is saying, this is probably, this point of this call is to find this location. But I just like kept saying, hey, what about that other place down the street? Like, what if we could take that and turn that into something? And the guy named Ron, who helps us find places and stuff, he's like, wait, for Surf Cat? I'm like, no, for something else. He goes, do you have something in mind? No, but we could think of something. And it's kind of like, even as you're saying it, you're like, what the fuck? We should knock one thing out first, but it's just not how it works, right? Like, and then also, what's the harm? We look into it and see how it is. But it could be, you know, so the downside of all this is sometimes there's a follow through issue.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because you're like, so it's not like you want to do everything. It's just, nothing's weighted. Everything's equal. It doesn't matter if it has to be done by tomorrow or else there's some repercussion, or it's a brand new idea that really doesn't matter if you do anything now or in 10 years. I have a hard time like treating them differently. Right? Like, oh, this company's far along or this company is, you know, just getting started. It all feels the same, you know, which can be a problem when you're like, there's other people working and everyone's working towards this thing. And it's like, we got some really important decisions to make and we're getting pretty close. We've all spent a lot of time and effort on this thing. And it's like, hey, what about this thing? Why don't we try this new thing over here? Yeah. So that's the downside. But I think that's the whole, my main thought is, if your motivation natural motivation will just come from within. You won't really have a choice. It's just kind of like why you do, like, why do some people, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't know how you get out of bed and go, I don't, but like some people get out of bed and go to the gym at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just because they just get out of bed and they, something tells them, fuck, get up and go get to the up. Gym.
Yeah.
And then some people are like, wake up at 4 in the morning and they're like, I need a sip of water. I'm going back to bed. Like, you just can't, you know, it's not like
another hour and a half.
You know how it is when like when your schedule gets thrown off and you're like, all right, I've got to start. Like if you told the person who likes to get up at 4 in the morning and go to the gym, hey, you got to stay in bed till 8. And you told the person that likes to sleep till 8, hey, you got to get up at 5. It would feel like torture. But it's the same thing.
Yeah, I guess.
So it's just kind of,
really,
I think,
is the same. Yeah,
we're just wired these different ways where it's like, I don't know if you guys do it, but like I do it sometimes when I'm falling asleep or I get into bed. The quickest way to put me to sleep is for me to try to come up with a plan, right? So if I'm like just lying in bed daydreaming about shit, then I can't sleep and then I got to get up and I'm like, oh, I wonder if this domain name's available or I better write this idea down in case I forget. But if I get in bed and I'm like, all right, fuck, all I did was daydream all day. I really have to figure this one thing out.
Lights out.
Then I'll be like, all right, what if I, and I'm asleep instantly. Done. It's foolproof.
It's the best sleeping pill of all time.
So the
I don't think it really, it's a follow through. I mean, I was thinking about that because if that really was a problem, then a lot of the projects that you would have up right now would not be up.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a team, and you got to have people that are interested in the different parts.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, it took me a while to realize like I don't have to apologize. There was a time where I would apologize for being an idea guy. Because it felt like, well, an idea guy is kind of a, could be used as a term for someone who doesn't get anything done. Just sit there and, oh, you think of an idea, but like, what is an idea? We have a business to run. And all you, you know, the longer, the farther along a business gets, the farther removed you are from the original idea. So if you're the idea guy, you eventually become useless, more, you know, more useless over time, which is probably a hard thing to have happen. But once you come to grips with that and you're like, right, like I didn't know what was going on at Zappos. When I just knew I wanted to leave, even though it was like having great success and growing really fast. And we had a bunch of people, a bunch of revenue, getting press. But all I wanted to do was like go do something else. But at that point in my life, I thought like, because I didn't know what was going on anyway. I didn't know what I was doing or what I wanted to do. That seemed like something, what's wrong with me? Like, why would I want to leave right now? But then you get older and you realize, because I'm really not interested at all about scaling it from this point to that point. I'm just naturally going to think of like the most fun thing in the world is an idea becoming reality. And then the longer that is reality, the less fun it is for me naturally. I won't think, you know, now there's certain things where you're just naturally more interested, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Warriors, right? Eventually I was like, might as well fucking do dunk contest, because if I don't do dunk contest, I'm still going to spend X amount of time per day sitting there thinking of goofy ideas for Warrior shirts.
Yeah.
So why not like just make these Warrior shirts for something? Like if I wasn't making them to put them in a store, I'd be making them and sticking them in the garage in a box.
I'm wearing them so people can see.
So if you could try to combine those two things, yeah, right? That would be good.
So I guess the thing with motivation is don't bullshit yourself if you're not interested in doing it. You just got to – if you enjoy doing it, just do it.
Yeah.
But don't pretend that, oh, I got to start a business just to make money, or I got to start a business because I feel like I should.
Yeah. You should be curious, right? Like you should be like if you're one of the army of people sitting at Starbucks working on a startup, there's three kinds of people that are sitting at Starbucks working on a startup, I would guess. I think I've been all three of them. One of them is, I don't want to get a job. I want to be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs go to Starbucks and work on their companies. So I'm going to sit there at Starbucks and I'm going to work on an idea.
Well, how come people don't do that at their house? Why Starbucks?
Because I think they psychologically need to get out of the house. Usually it skews younger.
Yeah.
Right? So they have friends and they have parents that are like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm working on a company. And just if you do it out of the house, it doesn't. Well, no, you're not. You're fucking sitting there playing Xbox. But if you're at Starbucks surfing the web, you still get to go home and tell your girlfriend or your friends or whatever, like, I was at Starbucks working on my idea, right? And people like to have meetings at Starbucks. So that one's kind of like hit or miss, because that's how everyone would start. And then they would either end up as like, they're so excited about something that now they go into Starbucks because they want to get away from the distractions of their house or their friends or whatever and work on stuff and blah, blah, blah. Or they're just at Starbucks like trying to think of an idea, which I think it's a weird thing for me because I would just keep coming up with ideas, whether they're good or bad. I have no idea, but I would just keep coming up with ideas. But I feel like some people are just different. So they're sitting there trying to work backwards off of like something else, which I've done too. And I've wasted a lot of money trying to work backwards off of like, well, maybe there's opportunity in this space. Do we know anything about that space? No. Well, that's fine. But do we give a shit about that space? No. But there's maybe money to be made. All right, fuck it. That's a good point. Let's sit here and try to think something out, you know?
Yeah.
And then you end up doing something. And then you can't figure out why you didn't even care about it. Or there's, how many people were that? Those are the two kinds. And then the third one is the person that's just working on something, right? Yeah. So, like to some people, it's just as intuitive to sit there and someone else gives them an idea and they just build out a full financial model.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to force themselves. They just, it's the same thing. It's just named slightly different, right? Like someone just has an idea in their head and they're like, I got to turn this into reality. Someone else hears an idea and then all of a sudden they can't help it. All they can think about is like, that's a good idea. I wonder if this model works. Oh, let me see if I can get this model going, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another guy who sits there and he's like, he didn't think of the idea. He can't do the financial model, but he's like, that's a really good idea. Let me see if I can code that up real quick and make it work.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just each of those stages. But if you've got the guy who naturally will not be able to stop trying to figure out how to code it up until he has an idea, he's going to be sitting at Starbucks trying to think of an idea.
To code
but that's
up.
Not his thing. You know, he just needs something to inspire him, then be like, oh, I can code it up. And then the person who is awesome at making financial models, which I couldn't do, they need that spark too. So everyone just needs the same. It just has to be this weird sequence. And if it's out of order, it's harder to make it. I have no idea what question we're talking about or what topic, but it just kind of, it's interesting. I started thinking about it. Like it's all, because it kind of ties into, I think in a couple of weeks we're going to have a guest on who only, you know, basically has one job and just like rapidly rose through the ranks of a big company. And like, at first that's not like entrepreneurial, but it is, right? I mean, it's like such a loose definition of, no, it is. He got into something and he just got the bug in him that he just couldn't help working 24 hours a day when he started with another, I don't know, 20 people in the same position that just saw it as a job. So it's still, that motivation is just like, when you find it, you just know what it is. Like it just bugs you if something doesn't happen, you know? Same way, I don't know. I mean, it's like workouts, right? You hear people that are like, oh, I've tried all these workouts and nothing's ever worked. And then the first time I tried this, I was hooked. Or like, oh, I tried, you know, doing X, Y, Z. And then I went walking with a friend and now I walk like 10 miles every day. It's just gotta, you know, everyone has things that they won't be able to not do if they just find them.
Are there any business ventures that you've had that was hard to stay motivated? Like setbacks and constant setbacks that you struggle with?
Yeah. No, there was...
Which is the worst one?
What was there? Well, to stay motivated. So the worst like dollar wise was Stagger, which was right after Zappos, which was a company started. It was called Styling Graphics. And so it was this front end customization tool. Right. And then that part was really fun. I was really into that part. It was, Buddy Ken that we talked about before, our front end was way better than anyone else's. And you could just take different elements and mix and match them and put them on all these shirts. And you could customize branded stuff, non-branded stuff. But then really that business needed a big focus on the back end and like, how are you going to output those files and how you're going to print them and all that.
And front end, you mean like visual?
Front end meaning the web interface.
The web interface, okay.
And I wasn't at all interested in that part. But then eventually, once I realized I wasn't interested in that, we had, you know, I think we'd talk about that a different day, but it was, you know, it was more like we started off great, and then we realized that what we thought was proof that it would work for anything was just this weird anomaly for this one So, for example, we made shirts for Madonna. Mm-hmm. So we had a bunch of bands where they gave us all their elements. So Madonna gave us all her album art, any graphic that she'd used for anything. And on the site, you could mix and match. You could make a custom Madonna shirt. And they said that we had the most successful first month launch of any of her merch partners. And so we were fired up. We're like, holy shit, this works. Like, this is, there's a big audience out here for this. Mm-hmm. So we launched a bunch of other bands. We launched, like, Black Eyed Peas was maybe the biggest band in the world at the time. I don't know. They were pretty damn famous at the time. And we had, like, Fergie and Ozzy Osbourne and Kiss and all these bands. We launched Madonna first, got all excited. We ramped up, bought a bunch of equipment. We kept launching the other ones, and nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm like, what the fuck? But we were, what was getting us up, or getting me up, and our focus was the front end and the taking all these graphics, which were, like, meant something to people and being able to use them in different ways and blah, blah, blah. That's what we were excited about. That's all we thought about every day. We weren't looking at the analytics, and we weren't also looking at the back end process and what a pain in the ass it was to make a custom shirt each time.
Yeah.
Like, financially. But what we realized when we went back and looked was that most of the sales, I don't remember the exact percentage, I want to say 75% of Madonna's sales were men's shirts. What we found was there was a large male population that wanted to express themselves by wearing a Madonna shirt, but they didn't have anywhere to buy them. There weren't very many Madonna shirts out there for sale for men. Most of the Madonna shirts for sale were for women.
No pun intended on that. Express yourself. That
Express yourself. Good. Exactly.
Nice.
That's but when good. It came to Black Eyed Peas, for example, there were apparently enough men's and women's shirts for fans of Black Eyed Peas that were out there. For Kiss and Ozzy Osbourne, there were enough men's and women's shirts. However, you know, whatever percent of the population wanted to represent themselves by wearing a shirt of one of those bands, they had enough. So Madonna was this weird anomaly that we found this one underserved group of people that wanted to wear Madonna stuff that couldn't get it.
So just by chance, you pick Madonna.
Madonna first. In fact, not only first. The reason, or not by chance. The reason we did it first was her manager, Guy Osiri. We had gotten introduced to him, and he had actually got excited about the idea and took a small equity stake in the company. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted to, he thought it would be great for Madonna. He knew there was a demand, and so he wanted Madonna to be first. And so we, you know, she was an artist deserving of being first, and it was a big buzz and all that stuff. So we did that. But anyways, I've got off track. So this, well, in a way I've gotten off track because everything's not, you know, black and white, there's grayer. So passionate about the idea, but only passionate about part of the process.
Yeah.
And so the part of the process you had to force yourself to focus on, we neglected a little bit, which was the back end. Because regardless of how many shirts we were selling, we had spent all our money and all our time making sure the front was cool. But the back, so say you designed a custom shirt and you put some text on there, you picked a few images, you changed the color of like four of them, you spun them around and rotated them and did all this shit and made this really cool shirt, sent it to us. Our output file was, there wasn't one. So then we had to hire someone and say, hey, here's the shirt that Dennis just created online. Can you go ahead and recreate that in Photoshop and send it to the printer?
So right. He has to go and look for all these pictures.
He has to find all the elements. He has to eyeball it and resize everything to the same size because they can just resize it however they want, rotate it however they want, change the color however they want. Right. And Millar was in charge of production. So Millar's sitting there waiting, just give me some shirts to print. But we're like, got a team of designers that are like, you know, taking forever because it's pretty hard to do that with no. It wasn't like they had cues like, hey, take this element, reduce it to 73%, rotate it 27 degrees. It was just eyeball it and recreate it.
Would this be similar to running to the to the store and taking pictures of shoes and then buying the shoes when you get an order and running?
No, because in this case, we'd already sold the item.
Oh, yeah.
So we've already sold the item.
Now it's just trying to deliver the product.
And then on top of that, so now we'd create this thing. We'd send it to the, so we had these, what are they called? DTG, direct-to-garment printers. And those were temperamental. And this is in 2007, so like, technology's advanced a lot since then, but even now they have a hard time, especially on darker shirts, printing those where the color is vibrant and where it won't wash out the first time. And so, you know, then Millar's team would sit there and be like, it took us four shirts to print this thing because you picked this weird, because we had just had a color picker. So it wasn't like we said, oh, these are the pinks you can use. It was like, just pick a color on the color picker, just like you would in Photoshop.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, they kind of picked this like it's not the brightest pink. So now that doesn't show up that great on a black shirt with this direct-to-garment printer. And then, of course, the printer would just freeze and all these random things. But anyways, so that was a long, long answer to... I think I started this part by saying this wasn't the answer. So this was the most frustrating in that I let that company go on for a long time and lost a lot of money just because I...
Wait, how long?
That company, I finally shut it down in 2009 to launch Dethrone because Stagger, over the years, eventually morphed into an MMA brand. Even though if you Googled it, it was like the first thing you saw was custom Madonna shirts. And we realized, well, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Let's get a clean start. But the only reason it took me that long to close it down was because of this pressure of like, I don't want to be seen as a failure or let people down. And I was like, I was depressed. Like I was like totally bummed out. And I had to just like literally purge all my Stagger shirts because that was mostly what I had every day. I would just have those shirts. And then I realized after a while, I'm looking in the mirror every day wearing this fucking shirt about this company that I've fucked up.
Yeah.
And I've got like, you know, good friends that I've convinced to come work here and I fucked it up and they believed, right, oh, well, he must know what he's doing because like Zappos did really well.
Yeah.
So now they've quit their jobs and they've come to join this thing and they've to spend all this time. And I'm like, so in my mind, I'm thinking I've let my friends down. I've, you know, lost a bunch of money. I didn't ask for money for Stagger, but like people wanted to give me money when I left, right? So Tony from Zappos invested, my chiropractor invested, and they just reached out and said, hey, you know, I don't know if you're raising money, but we'll put some money in. It's like, sure, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
But that made it even harder to fucking shut. Now, like, okay, so basically I've just fucked my friends over, lost people's money, proven all these doubters that don't exist that I think exist wrong, yeah. Right? You know, so that went on for a long time, and I was like, God, I fucking suck. But that wasn't about being motivated. That was just, I was motivated part of it. So I saw the danger of like, we should have had someone who was super motivated and passionate about each part, heading up each part. And I could have just been motivated about like going out and finding new partners for us to, you know, do art with and like making sure the front end was, you know, exciting and all that stuff. So then there was a company called, well, there was one called Ranked. And it was, God, when was this? This was probably like, this was right when, before Basecamp started. But this was an idea that whatever you have in your closet, like I thought, okay, I remember talking to someone one day and I had basically worn, I hadn't worn Nike ever. I said I wouldn't wear Nike because Nike wouldn't sell to Zappos. And Nike finally, I think it was 2009, 2010, finally started selling to Zappos. So I said, fine, I'm going to fucking wear Nike now.
Yeah.
Not going to boycott him. This one man boycott is over.
You're like, man, we got to.
Yeah.
I really felt that. To Zappos.
And I was talking to someone, right? And I said, they're like, I haven't seen you wear Nikes before. I'm like, well, I was boycotting them because they won't fucking sell to Zappos, but now they are. I'm good. And they were just joking, but they're like, I'm sure fucking Nike's really broken up about that. And I always thought to myself, wait a minute. They should be broken up about that, right? Like I had, I don't remember what probably Vans or I don't know, for athletic shoes, I probably had Adidas or something. I'm like, I got a lot of fucking shoes. And like, there should be a difference, right? Like Nike should A, be happy that I just abandoned whatever brand I was wearing and joined them. And B, I just bought like 20 pairs of Nikes. Like, so they should appreciate that, not appreciate, but they should like, I should have a better relationship with them than the me that didn't have any pairs or the me that, or all the people that just have, they rotate. Oh, we'll get a pair of Nikes and then I'll get a pair of Adidas. There's people out there that are just super brand loyal. Yeah. So then I started thinking, all right, what about with Dethrone? At Dethrone, we would sell shirts on our website ourselves. So obviously if we sell them directly on the website, we knew who was buying them. But if we sold them to a store, we had no idea who bought them. All we knew is this fucking store bought them. And then what happened from that point on, we didn't know. We had no relationship with those people.
Yeah.
So we couldn't reward them or thank them or anything. I was like, all right. So if I could create a tool where brands could discover more of their customers, or more of their, that weren't their direct customers, but more people that were repping their brand, then that would be appealing from a brand perspective. It would be a way for people to say, hey, Dethrone, Nike, like I support you. Let's have a relationship. And then B, I thought if you could have a tiered system it would work well for the customer and the brand, because the customer would say, you know what? Yeah, I bought 50 pairs of Nikes and Nike appreciates that. And they see me a little bit differently than the person who bought two pairs. And then for the brand, they would know, okay, these are my diehard fans and these are my casual fans. And what they did with that was up to them, right? Maybe they'd say, hey, let me really reward my diehard fans. Or maybe they're like, you know, diehard fans are already hooked. Let me try to turn these semi-fans into diehard fans. So I thought, okay, if I can solve that, that'd be cool. But I thought, okay, but if you start now and you, every time someone buys something, it's going to take fucking forever.
Yeah.
Right? Because like, okay, I get it. Like, I just bought a pair of Nikes. What about, it's like kind of when you go to Starbucks and you go there every day for like a year and then you get a new cashier on the 354th day and they go, would you like to join our rewards club? Every 20 drinks, you get a free cup of coffee. And you're like, can I get one for the last 353 days? Like, no one fucking mentioned this.
What did this
come from? No, we can't. It starts today, right? But I'm like, all right. So I thought, okay, but it's going to take me forever. Even if I get people to come to the site and tell me, hey, my name's Dennis. I just bought a pair of Nikes. It's going to take me forever, unless Dennis is a fucking shopaholic, to figure out everything he has. So I said, all right, let's try to reward past behavior, which I didn't think anyone was doing. So let's find a site where you take pictures of everything in your closet, you upload it to your profile, and then now we'll learn a lot more about you, right? So instead of waiting for you to buy something else, you got like, hey, I got 40 things in my closet. Here they are. Now I got like 40 data points on you as opposed to waiting for you to keep buying stuff. But I was interested, now I'm talking about it. I'm like, that's a good idea. What do we give up for? But
it's like, God damn it.
I was interested in it, but I wasn't like super passionate about it, right? Yeah. Like there's a difference, right? Like I could sit here and make an argument right now. I can get myself all excited. Like I'm going to bring that back. But like, because I think it's interesting, but I know I'm not going to be thinking about it 5 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Like I would be doing it. There wouldn't be anything wrong with pursuing that. It would be like, that's a good idea, could be worth pursuing. But I'd have to probably ask myself, why do you, like, what's the next thing you think about right after that?
Yeah.
Well, even when I just right now got myself re-excited about it, I was probably thinking about it. That could have been pretty big. But that's where it would have gotten fucked up, because that would have been my next thought was like, wait, that could be pretty big. Maybe I should work on that versus these other ideas where I don't ever get to that point because I couldn't even imagine not working on it, right?
Yeah.
So eventually I would have been working on that because I thought it was an idea that could be big, and there's tons of ideas that could be big.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm explaining the difference, but there's a subtle difference of like, I would wake up in the morning and be like, probably think about five other things. All right, let me go fucking get my laptop and start working on the closet site, because that's, you know, that could be a big opportunity. Yeah. Versus waking up and being like, without even thinking, opening my laptop and starting to work on the closet site, because it's like just what comes naturally. So it's a subtle little thing, but I've found for me that's there's a slight difference. And then the difference also is, it's not that one, if it wasn't big, it loses most of its value. Because the reason you worked on it was because you thought it could be big.
Yeah.
And so if it's not big, what the fuck? You sit there and you're like, well, that didn't work. Whereas if you're just like working on something because you can't help it, like your brain is just saying, you have to fucking do this, you're not even thinking about the steps. You just wake up and you're like, God, I wonder, like, no matter what you open the laptop to do, you just start trying to make this logo, or you start trying to think of a name, or you start researching, like, I wonder if there's anything like this out there.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the difference. I could talk myself into any idea, which is why I don't generally invest in things.
Yeah.
Because I figure I've only invested in like four things or five things ever outside of my own ideas, because I think I'm an optimist. So anyone can tell me something's a good idea.
Yeah.
And they can make a compelling argument, and usually they believe it and they're right. And I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I don't have the depth of knowledge to know if it's really a good idea, what else is out there. And I'm not going to be passionate enough about it to spend a whole bunch of time researching, trying to figure out like is there something like this? Like for another example would be ThreadLife when we did the.
When was this?
ThreadLife was. When was that? It was a few years ago, and it was this video sharing thing, and we went to a couple meetings. And someone's like, "Oh, have you heard of Vine?" Vine hadn't launched yet. I was like, "No," but they're like, "Oh, well, you should check it out. They've been making the rounds and showing people their presentation." I wasn't a VC or an investor, so I probably wouldn't have seen the presentation.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would have somehow tracked it down if I really cared. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Again, ThreadLife was more. Why are you working on ThreadLife? Well, look what Instagram did for photos. This is before Instagram video. Look what Instagram did for photos. It was actually me and friend Ken. We're sitting there and we're like, what could we work on together? Well, Instagram just got bought. That's photos. Let's do something for video. But there was a whole bunch of people thinking the same thing at the same time, yeah, including Instagram. But we worked on it and we hired developers. It took forever. And part of it was because, again, we were just chasing, like, what could we work on that could be big? Yeah. Well, these guys did this, so we should do this because it's similar. But I could not say, we probably worked on that for 6 months, and I would guarantee you that for 5.5 of those 6 months, it was not in the first five things I thought of when I woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
It was more like I woke up, thought about all the things I gave a shit about, had some coffee. Clarity. And then said, all right, what am I supposed to work on today? Oh, yeah, that fucking company that I'm investing money and time into. It's like, what the fuck? So I think that's the difference for me of, like, motivation is just, you just can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, I think initially the question was failure. Like, what keeps you motivated after failure?
So the other thing is, because I don't have the ability to, like, everything's just kind of the same.
Yeah.
Then I'm not like, oh, I'm going to try this because this failed. Or I'm not going to try this because the same thing just failed. I'm more just, it's not like, there's no correlation between the two.
So you just keep going.
It's just like, oh, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. I like this idea. I can't, you know, or I have to do this. I have to do that. Like literally on that phone call, trying not to mention this other concept while I know that my focus on my phone call should be the coffee, it felt like impossible. It felt like I was in fucking high school and I just heard the craziest fucking rumor and I got to fucking tell someone. You know, it was the same feeling where you're like, I really know I should not be telling you this, but holy shit, you're not going to believe what I just heard. You know, it's the same fucking thing.
It's a good idea, by the way. Side note.
Which one?
The one you're talking about that you're not supposed to.
Take a picture of closets?
Yeah.
No. Some other idea.
So I think, yeah, that's that. So I don't think it'll ever end. It might. I might just wake up one day and be like, maybe there's periods of life, right, where you wake up and all of a sudden your interests are different.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, I haven't really thought of any ideas lately or given a shit about any of that. I'm now just obsessed with golf and wine or whatever the next step is supposed to be. Like, yeah. I just can't stop thinking about that fucking 13th hole. Like, that seems unlikely, but
yeah. Damn it, par four.
Yeah, or God, why should I have a Pinot or a fucking Cabernet tonight? Like, I hope that doesn't happen. But then again, on some level, it would be very relaxing.
Yeah.
But you can't control it. You're just going to think about what you're going to think about. It's just the way it is.
So I guess for the people that are, you know, starting up now, trying to do companies, I guess it's pretty much you just have to gotta love what you're doing. Can't overthink it. And you can't be driven by money.
Yeah, you can be driven by money. You just, as if you're starting a company and your primary motivation is making money, then you could find yourself in a situation where, A, you've overlooked all the other reasons it's not going to work and just looked at the market size or something like that, or B, you could find yourself in something where you're not happy or waking up excited.
Yeah.
Because you could still you could still work on something which could end up making a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're 7 feet tall and you kind of like basketball, you really wake up all day thinking about soccer, but you're 7 feet tall and you enjoy it. It's cool when you're playing and you're good at it.
Yeah.
You could still make it to the NBA, right? And there's guys in the NBA, right, where people are like, he doesn't love the game. It's like, it's not his. It's not up to him to fucking, you know, if he doesn't love the game, who cares? He just can't help it. He's, you know, it's not like he has to fucking love the game or he can change it. But I would say if you're just focused on making money, then there's a whole bunch of ways to make money that aren't as risky, and, you know, you'd probably be better off just getting into a organization that pays really well and working your ass off and just, you know, not spending money on anything and saving your money and saving your money and saving your money and doing all that shit. And then I think you also should figure out, like, what do you naturally think about? And then how could that integrate with other things? Like, if there's a lot of people like, I'm just not a great idea guy. Well, then don't fucking try to think of ideas. Right?
Yeah.
Just figure out whatever it is that you naturally like thinking about. And go then,
find someone who has that idea.
Yeah, network with a bunch of people. Because every guy with an idea is going to need a whole bunch of people to help him turn it into any kind of company.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, you know, I've never done anything on my own or been the primary reason for anything's success. I just, here's a fucking something to kickstart it. And,
yeah.
And then it's not even like, during the process, I'm not even the most creative one the whole time. I just had the initial idea. There's a whole bunch of people that are like, oh, I'm, you know, hey, you're good at taking this from 0 to 1, and I'm really fucking good at taking this from 1 to 10. And then there's a whole nother set of people that could take it from like 11 to 20. And that's a whole nother
podcast
topic for another day, is like, you know, it's okay, A, that sometimes your company is going to outgrow the people that you have working in it. And sometimes the people working in the company are going to outgrow the company. Like, sometimes the company is going to get too big and too far along for the people that work there. And sometimes the company is never going to get big enough and complicated enough for the people that work there. They need to go work on something bigger and more complicated. And that's fine, right? But the challenge is it takes a while to learn that and learn. It takes a long time to figure out, like, what you're naturally, not only what you're naturally good at, because just because you have a bunch of ideas doesn't mean they're good ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I could wake up thinking of a whole bunch of ideas that are just terrible business ideas. But, like, I can't help it. It's not like you say, hey, I only think of good ideas.
Yeah.
And I might not even be aware of the fact that they're terrible business ideas. Whereas someone else might come along and be like, okay, I would never think of that idea, but it's also a terrible idea, and here's why. Or, like, here's why you'll never get – you know what? That's a great idea. Have fun selling those 3 fucking T-shirts, but here's why you'll never sell more than 3. But that part will be like, okay, well, let me just sell those 3 T-shirts, and then let's connect.
Yeah.
And you can tell me why we should not, you know, I should not do it. So, yeah, I don't think any of the elements are better. I don't think any of the things are better. You just got to find your niche. And just because you don't think of an idea does not mean you can't be an entrepreneur. You know, I mean, you could start if you're a business model guy, you could start a company that just provides business models to entrepreneurs. You didn't have to think of an idea. You just had to tap into what you did really well.
Some people are just good at putting pieces together.
And it's not like people. It's not like I just thought of some brilliant idea. Like, there's some people start call centers because they're really good at running call centers and they know that companies need call centers, right? Or people start ad agencies because they're really good at navigating ad spends and marketing, and they know that people, and they still, but they'll never get the credit for having a great idea. They'll be like, they might get like a lot of, you know, people commend them and be like, hey, what an incredible company. And like, but like, they don't give a shit that no one says, hey, what an incredible idea. Cause there's already been ad agencies forever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. They're still just as much entrepreneurs, just as successful, you know, so it's all just relative. And that is one running monologue.
Taking.
How long did I fucking talk for?
I'll be honest. It seems like it's such a small topic that we just did this too.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I think I'm going to cut this out, but you know, we could it'd probably make 10 minutes of talking.
Yeah.
About motivation.
Well, it's crazy, right? Because then you got me I don't think you should cut it out, because what it got me talking about was ideas, which is what I got all excited about. So I could talk about that 40 minutes. If you would have said, let's talk about motivation with like bookkeeping and stuff, I would have been done in 30 seconds, right?
That sucks.
But then if we would have started talking about, you know, superheroes,
yeah,
Julio would still be talking.
Well, yes, but also the thing that stood out there was also, and I think I said it earlier in the podcast, how self-aware you weren't always as self-aware as you are now. Or you've mentioned things during that quote-unquote monologue, you know, but it's a lot of great stuff in there, but it took you a while to identify what motivated you. And I think there are people out there who struggle with that, who want to be an idea person, but maybe they haven't gotten to realize that their ideas mostly suck. So now they have to kind of shift their motivation and kind of figure all that out. So especially the young entrepreneurs who feel like every idea that they fucking have is like the greatest idea of all time.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it sounds like self-awareness is such a better quality to have because that's what's going to fuel that motivation every day.
Yeah, if you're going to be an idea person, you just have to be an idea person. You can't be a good idea person.
Yeah.
Like, I only think of good ideas. It's like, what the fuck? Or even said, I only pursue good ideas. I guess you could. But I couldn't.
Yeah.
Right? And no one would want to be, I only pursue bad ideas and only have bad ideas. You just have to take the good with the bad. And I think becoming self-aware, for me, when Zappos was a great success, I knew it wasn't because of me. It was because of a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that when you have a failure, I do take credit for that, which is a weird one, but I think it's because when something's successful, you had a good idea, you sold people on it, and then they jumped in and they did things to make it into a good idea. When you had a bad idea, you started off with an idea, you sold people on it, and they jumped in, and then it's a gray area. Either they worked as hard as they could, but it was just a bad idea to begin with, which goes back to being my fault,
mm-hmm.
or they didn't work as hard or do things properly, and so it ended up not working out. But I would.
But you feel bad because you identified them as somebody who can push that idea forward. Because
usually if you had a bad idea that didn't work, it means you didn't have a successful company. Whereas if you had a good idea that worked, it means you had a successful company. So you can have a successful company and say, hey, I just had the idea. These guys all ran the company and did everything good. When you have a bad idea, you just had a bad idea. Even if it was for 10 years, it was a company, it was still a bad idea.
How do you even figure out what's a good idea and a bad idea? Do you like run by ideas or you just go for it?
You think of something and then you got to pass the did I wake up thinking it was still a good idea test. I got to mention it. You mention it to people and then see what they think about it and then gauge would they really tell me if it was a bad idea? Are they so pessimistic that they wouldn't even realize it was a good idea? And then does it matter will that push you off the idea? Right? Because if someone tells you a flaw in it and you're like, oh, I'm done with it. Or, taking all the shine off it, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Or sometimes people are telling you, like, hey, for your own good, this is a bad idea because of this, but you're just so stubborn you think it's a good idea that you just push forward anyway.
Yeah.
Or it's just a combination of them where it's like, you know, they tell you it's a bad idea and you're like, huh, why? And they tell you something and then you tweak the idea slightly and it kind of goes around. Usually everything's collaboration in the end because everyone sees everything from, like, their own perspective. That was the other thing I realized over time is, like, it's totally normal for us all to be like, I, me, me, me. Because, like, the fuck? That's the only thing we're experiencing.
Yeah.
Like, I think you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. But I don't know. Or whatever, you know. But I don't know what you're really thinking. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't even know if, like, Julio's Giants logo looks black and orange to me. But to you, it might look blue and green. And what you think is blue and green might be fucking black. You know, you get all.
Yeah.
You know? Or you could have been having a. You could be starving right now, so you can't even concentrate, right? Or
a little bit.
You could, you know. Your wife could be mad at you, so you can't even. Like, there's so many different ways we can interpret different things. Because, you know, especially in work, like, there's times where people. The same time, a manager could think, like, man, I just gave this person the best opportunity possible. And the person who they just think they gave the best opportunity could be like, fucking manager's micromanaging me and won't let me do my job. And it's like. It's all over the place. I really have no idea what I started talking about on this one. Anyways, I think we've reached.
I was going to ask you something real quick.
Tipping point.
Because, and it's part of the sort of the talking points, and I don't know how we'll fuse it together, but Do you get the same satisfaction of, say, seeing somebody wearing a dunk contest shirt as opposed to when you saw somebody wearing a Stagger shirt for the first time? Obviously, there's a lot of gray area there in terms of the context, but
yeah.
Dunk contest being the a company that's been open for almost 2 years now, whereas Staggered was, a failure because it's not open now. But
yeah,
is it the same sort of excitement that you felt when Staggered, when you first saw someone with a Staggered shirt on?
The feeling's exactly the same. I mean, it's still amazing that you could think of something and have someone actually wearing it, and then over time, like right now, so you still, every once in a while, I'll see someone, usually someone that I know for some capacity, but every once in a while, someone I didn't know, especially, you know, the MMA fans that had gotten a walkout shirt or something, you'll see someone, and now, like, the fact that it, quote, you know, failed or doesn't exist is kind of like, I'm kind of past that. So now it's like, oh, shit, look, there's a Stagger shirt. Oh, shit, there's a Dethroned shirt. I mean, when I see Dethroned shirts, I always take a picture and send it to my brother, like, dude, the guy in front of me in line's wearing a Dethroned shirt. It's like, and you know, there's a lot of people wearing Dethroned shirts somewhere. Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's like, I don't think that ever changes. Like, I still remember the first time at Zappos, I went to spring training. This must have been the first spring. Like, I don't know. At that point, we weren't very big, and we went to Arizona for spring training. And, you know, I knew people that were familiar with Zappos, but they were kind of like people that I ran into in San Francisco or knew or friends of friends or something, right? Or customers that would reach out to us. But we had gotten bags with Zappos embroidered on them, and we were checking into our hotel in Scottsdale, and the woman behind the counter was like, oh, Zappos.com. I love Zappos. And I just remember being like, what? Holy shit. We're in a different state. And this person fucking, and I knew that, like, obviously we're shipping stuff to different states, but I'd never actually been in another state and have someone say, like, I love Zappos. And it was like, dude, you've heard of Zappos? That's awesome. That was, like, just as exciting as anything. That's exciting as seeing looking in the UPS truck and seeing, like, oh, it looks like a quarter of the truck is full of Zappos boxes. It's,
Same satisfaction than you walk into the restaurant nowadays and see it packed, or you walk into the gym and you see it.
Yeah,
packed stuff like that. So
yeah, it's all the same thing. I mean, dunk contest really started because I would just make myself stuff to wear to a Warriors game, right? And then sometimes the Warriors would be like, "Hey," well, it was like started with a foam hand, and they're like, "Whoop, buy some of those foam hands to sell." Didn't even say Warriors on it. I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then the original Unofficial hat was like, "I just want to make a Warriors hat that looks like an old Milwaukee Brewers hat," and then someone's like, hey, that's a cool hat. I get it. 3-point hand, haha. You know, and then they would wear one. So, yeah, it doesn't really matter if it's a, there's just more, if you can turn it into a business. So it's the same exact satisfaction. I would imagine the same feeling an artist feels of like, hey, I drew this painting and someone bought it. Like, holy shit. Or, hey, I made this painting and someone liked it.
I think it's just partially something creative that you put together and then seeing people.
An Instagram post, right? You can have an Instagram thing and you post it and people like it and you're like, holy shit.
That's true. It's on, but that's the entrepreneurship. Is that on a another level because people are actually giving you money for it?
Yeah, it's everyone's creative outlet, or what they naturally, you know. Some people want to bake a cake, and some people want to think of an idea for a company and make a logo. It's the same thing. It's just if you can turn what you're passionate about into a company, then it can be really cool because there's financial rewards. You get to hire people and have all these interactions and stuff. It's pretty sweet.
I guess motivation.
Everyone's motivated to hear me stop talking. Right. I got fired up. But it is interesting. I mean, I did get fired up about that topic.
Yeah, we should do a podcast with team building, how to put together a team.
That I would probably need someone else to talk about.
How did he do this?
How the fuck did we all get here?
Post an ad, and then that's it. All right. Well, that's episode 4. In the books.
We are motivated to end this podcast.
Yes. Let's do this.
If you are so motivated, you could give us a follow.
Subscribe.
Startup Addict on Instagram. Startup_addict on Twitter. YouTube.com/
Oh, we don't have a URL there, but you could search
soon to be the Startup Addict. Subscribe to us on iTunes if you can. We appreciate everyone listening, but if you can subscribe, it really helps us in the rankings. If you are looking for an outlet, you could listen to the at Run JMMC podcast featuring the Julio Lara.
Yay.
When's the next episode?
Next one drops.
We don't even know when this episode drops. Yeah. Oh, let's forget. Hold on.
The next episode.
Pause. Let's pause. Let's go back to ones. Pause. What's the next episode going to be about?
We're recording tonight, actually. We're talking about the new Infinity War trailer, which we mentioned in a podcast previous to this one.
Hmm.
So there's a lot to break down there. And also the return of Daniel Bryan to WWE. So we're really, really excited. I'm excited to talk to DC about that. That'll be a lot of fun.
What happened to him? He had a concussion?
Yeah. He was out for 2 years, and now he's back. He's been medically cleared, so we're expecting to see him at WrestleMania. He took a beating on Tuesday in SmackDown, and I've lost you guys. I'm sorry.
What? No, you just got me thinking.
I blacked out.
If anyone's interested in hearing more about concussions and beatdowns, check out our other podcast, Talkin' Talker.
Yes.
With the UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier. Dennis, in his other role as the most entertaining person on Talkin' Talker, has suffered a concussion, ended up in the hospital from eating too many hot wings.
Yep.
Gotten lost in Mexico for a few days.
That's true.
So you'll see another side of him.
Yeah. I wild out.
His true motivation.
True motivation.
Happens over at Talkin' Talker.
Nice.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
All right. Goodbye.